Baritone Theo Hoffman had a vision to stand Schubert and the Beatles side by side in his debut studio album with the New York Festival of Song Records. And this presents us with a great opportunity to explore a bridge between classical leader and some of those internationally beloved oldies. I'm Mary Claire Murphy for Classical Conversations. And thank you, Theo, for joining me on the other line.
My pleasure.
So one of the things I find so exciting about this album, what I love about it is this premise that Schubert and the Beatles are not mutually exclusive. In fact, there are some really interesting parallels between them if we dig a little bit deeper. What do you see as being the connection there?
Yeah, it's actually kind of wonderful how not deep you need to dig to kind of notice some of these themes. And the story of this program kind of begins and ends with Stephen Blyer, who's the artistic director and founder of the New York Festival of Song. So Stephen and I met when I was 18. I was a first-year student at Juilliard, and he was the first musician I ever met who kind of reinforced the fact that, you know, the recital hall doesn't need to be this holy chapel of Beethoven and Schubert and Brahms, and, you know, that we can really mix our offerings to a classical audience, including things from the pop repertoire and things from Golden Age musical theater or operetta or things like this. And so from really early in my education, I was sort of thinking of programming not so much as let me check off the boxes of, you know, I need a French set and a German set. I was really thinking of recital programming as a sort of playlist. And that actually is kind of how I got interested in music in the first place. It was like, you know, I was interested in Jimi Hendrix and Bob Dylan, and then slowly through public education in New York City, performing arts education in New York City, I became exposed to Schubert and Mozart. And so layered into a healthy diet as a kid of rock and roll was this growing love for Lieder and art song. And then when I met Steve, he was really the first person who was like, you don't need to be afraid of just smashing those two loves together. And so it kind of, the album came from an idea that I had when I was about 20 years old. And I was chatting with the then publicist for New York Festival of Song casually after a concert. And it just went something like, oh, what about Schubert and Beatles? And she was like, yeah, let's go tell Steve. And so we went and told Steve, and he, you know, a couple weeks later, I walked into a coaching with him at school, and he said, so that was a really good idea, and we're gonna do it as a concert next year. And at the time, you know, I think he really wanted to use established singers. So my role was actually, you know, sort of a co-programmer, but I was kind of singing backup. And he used Paul Appleby and Shari Gruber and Andrew Garland for the original concert. And so we did it so it was 8 years ago now, back in 2016, as a concert. And it really resonated with audiences. We kind of saw that this was a really, there was something for everyone. You have something for the Schubert lovers. You have something for people who would love to hear a Beatles song reinterpreted as an art song. We toured it a bit. And then kind of after COVID, Steve and I decided that part of their recording initiative, I mean, NYFOS, kind of amazing. They have this initiative, an incredibly supportive board for all these recordings. And so they've highlighted with artists that they've been working with for a long time, artists whose careers they've been involved with, and this is their latest release. And so I'm really honored that they got behind this idea in such a big way, and that something that was just a really organic kind of childhood inspiration for me became, you know, an album that's now released to the public.
What a wonderful journey. And I'm glad you did mention too the audience response to that initial concert and the idea of, I guess, subverting some of the perception of like a museum culture around classical music. And if we think about Schubert in his time, I mean, playing music in parlors, it would have been much more personal, I think, than sometimes we consider it to be. So that's a nice, like, intimate aspect that you bring to that.
Exactly. And I think that, like, yeah, the Beatles had pretty similar humble beginnings, like in the taverns of Liverpool. And I think that they're both really rooted in this tradition of European song, which is such a strong oral tradition. I live in Germany now, and I can see how much the recital hall really matters to people in Europe. And I think it matters to Americans too, but I think in a slightly different way. We relate to classical music in a slightly different way in this country. Yeah, I think that it really influenced my opinion of programming, even in the operatic repertoire as well. That, I want classical organizations to shy away from trying to water it down for their audiences. I think that we can be adventurous in operatic planning as well as recital planning by just putting great, thoughtful work on the stage. So that's part of what this was.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Could you touch a little bit on the arrangements themselves and the Schubert pieces? Did you have to tweak those at all, or is most of the arrangement coming from like the Beatles aspect?
We left the Schubert as is, but I would say that the approach in the recording studio was to put it as close together in terms of sound world as the Beatles tracks. But yes, the arranging itself, mostly headed by Steve, was to try and bring the Beatles tracks to a more acoustic, more chamber arrangement type place. So we have a classical violinist, but he's playing in a very colloquial sort of folk sort of style. And same with the guitar. We have two guitarists on the album. One is a sort of, more traditional pop session player, and he's on all the Beatles tracks. But then we have a classical player, Rupert Boyd, who plays for one track, Du bist die Ruh. What I love about that track actually on the album is that we have this, kind of very chopsy, shall we say, classical guitarist playing Schubert in a really colloquial kind of way. And I would say the same goes for Kunal Lahiri, who plays on all the Schubert. He really approaches it as a sort of pop music of the day. And I think so we get a very subtle connection in the way we present it simply by our approach to the music making. So Stephen Blyer totally spearheaded the programming. I mean, he is like an absolute programming guru. Knifos offers a full season every year of his recitals live in New York. So if you're in the New York area, please go find them. But they're always releasing these recordings as well. And he's basically looking for thematic links of some sort here. So in this particular program, we have basically like poetic links mostly. So we have Alinda by Schubert and Julia by the Beatles. John Lennon wrote the song about his mother. He's calling out for connection to his mother who passed away before he wrote that song. And Alinda, where the protagonist is kind of calling out for human connection. Im Frühling, In Springtime by Schubert, and Yesterday, both songs of regret. And we have slightly more esoteric pairings like Anschwager Kronos, which is time personified with Taxman to signify the two things that are most likely or sure in life, which is death and taxes. So it's a bit we had some fun with it, and some of the connections are sort of more deep than others, shall we say. But yeah, I mean, I think that also in the way that Schubert and John Lennon and Paul McCartney and George Harrison like all present characters is really similar, and they both very much like pushed the paradigms of their day. They changed form of what was being done on a regular basis. They expanded the forms that they were working in. So, a lot of the Beatles compositions are much kind of more ahead of their time than a lot of their contemporaries. And the same, of course, can be said for Schubert. I mean, both of their outputs are also incredibly prolific in such a short amount of time. The Beatles, I think, in total was 6, 7 years. And Schubert, of course, died at a really young age. And so what we have is this amazing, immense kind of outpouring of creativity from these two entities, but we only got them for that much time.
Were there any songs or pairings that really struck you personally or moved you in terms of the theme or perhaps the mood of the music or otherwise?
Yeah, I would say actually my favorite pairing is Here, There, and Everywhere and Die Taubenpost. Die Taubenpost is Schubert's last song that he ever wrote. And Here, There, and Everywhere very much feels like a sort of summation of something. It's Paul McCartney's favorite song that he ever wrote. He's spoken about that some. And I think that they just feel so, it feels so complete. Like when I think about those two songs, when I think about Taubenpost being Schubert's swan song, which it is in Schwanengesang, but it's literally his swan song where he's kind of like tipping his hat to the life he's lived. And I kind of feel the same way when I listen to Here, There, and Everywhere. It's like an ode to just being alive, in a way.
Watching her eyes and hoping I'm always there. I will be there and everywhere.
And then on another level, you have the summation, the experience of looking back on what's been a debut studio album. Can you share any reflections on what that was like for you?
Well, it was an incredible project. It was sort of a whirlwind of collaborations. We had so many different people coming through the studio, which was so fantastic. It's usually not how a traditional leader or recital album works. Usually you work with one pianist and you have your program and you just kind of you record it together, you know, sequestered somewhere. We were like the opposite. We were flying people in. We were scheduling it all in a week. I mean, it was like a real whirlwind, but such a collaborative energy. We have Julia Bullock on the album, who's an acclaimed recitalist and opera star. And, you know, Kunal Lahiri, who we flew in from Berlin. He's an American pianist, but he lives in Berlin. So that's my sort of my gang these days. And you know, Andrew Owens, who's also based in Europe. So we just like converged on this little studio in Brooklyn, which actually sadly doesn't exist anymore. We just had this outpouring that week, and it was really, really special. Also, our producer, Jonathan Estabrooks, is a former baritone, also went to Juilliard. And so we have this sort of shared consciousness together, and we all just sort of poured our creativity and our love for this repertoire into that week. And it was a really special week. And I think like hopefully listeners can kind of hear us being inspired and putting this out, because it really just comes from a place of wanting to pour beauty into a world that so needs it.
I've been speaking with baritone Theo Hoffman, who took his Schubert in Beatles album from a vision to a full-on studio recording with the New York Festival of Song. I want to thank you, Theo. Wish you the best of luck and congratulations on the release.
Hey, thank you so much, and thanks for spreading the word.
Say the word.